About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I asked Kate whether she'd like to share with New Beginnings. And this is not like an old grandpa that can hardly walk talking to a teenage kid that doesn't know what she's doing. Kate immediately said, yes. Yes, I'd like to do that. So we're glad Kate and Peter are here today. In my personal devotions this week, I thought, you know, were there any youth that went on a mission in the Bible? And we could quickly come up with names of several people that are our favorites. But mine happens to be come out of the Old Testament, which is, I think, in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, where Samuel was to call. Saul was on his way out of being a king. Samuel was to call from the family of Jesse a new king. And this so much fits Kate. Samuel got to the seventh child, and he said to Jesse, the father, do you have any more kids? And Jesse said, oh, yeah, I have a runt. And this is a paraphrase from the New Message. Now, Kate happens to be our eighth chronological grandchild. Amazing. And let me go on with that. Kate's parents called her up to a few years ago. I don't want to embarrass you, Kate. They call her Pipsqueak. Because Kate was kind of, in their family's eyes, Kate was kind of undersized for her age. All of a sudden, she put aside Pipsqueak, and now Kate is a lovely young lady. But anyway, Jesse said, yeah, I got the runt out there. And so the runt was David. Now, I know Kate and David are different genders, but let me go on with this. Maybe it's going to be good too far. David was a man after God's own heart. So I think that some of the things that this YWAM person had in the Old Testament relate to Kate. Kate is a person that loves the Lord. And David loved to make things fly. Especially in back of a sling. And Kate loves flying. She would probably choose a critter that has wings on it or a machine. But she also likes to make a field hockey ball go into the net. She likes to see things fly. So Kate, we welcome you to our lectern here. And as you share your testimony, I think we're going to probably wind up with a lot of questions to ask you. So if you're open to that, okay, we'll do that afterwards. So welcome to New Beginnings.
Okay, so I'm going to be sharing about my experience in YWAM, which I came and talked to you guys about over a year ago. So I'm going to be sharing about that. So just a little overview is basically you choose a base, and YWAM stands for Youth with a Mission, by the way. So you choose a base, and you are there for 3 months, and then you go on outreach for 2 months. So I chose Sunshine Coast, which is in Australia, and that was where I was for the first 3 months, and then I went to Sri Lanka for my outreach. Sri Lanka is right by, like, India to the right of it. So you can go to the next slide.
Are you in that picture?
Yeah, I was in the middle somewhere. I think it's on there again, so. But, So every week they send out a schedule, and this is just a sample one, but break camp is just like leaving the wavy base, which is what they called the base, and we would go to lectures. So on Mondays we had like base worship, so there's also something called SBS, which is School of Biblical Studies, that was also in Sunshine Coast, so we had worship with them. We shared testimonies. This was OR, is outreach. So when we had our outreach groups, we did a lot of intercession and prayer and got together and bonded and stuff, so just so we were ready for outreach. And then here, like, we had base-wide prayer and worship, just a lot of, like, spontaneous worship sessions. We had some cleaning around the base every Wednesday, and then we would have, like, fun nights. We would go to the beach. And then all these lectures, there was a different one every week, which I show in a different slide. But then there's also evangelism. So we went out just to, like, the mall. and evangelize to people. And then we had something called Ocean Street, which is probably my favorite part about the Australia portion, which is it was basically like a partying street. So there was a lot of drunk people, a lot of people on drugs, and we went out safely, obviously, and we would evangelize to people. I have a few pictures and videos from that, but that was probably one of my favorite parts. So these were some of the lecture topics. So there were different topics every week. I think the only one I forgot here was relationships. But so we had a different speaker come in every week. We had, this is one of our speakers. This was on the last week. He was really, really cool. That's where we had our lectures, and that's us doing some worship there. Mm-hmm. This is the base where we stayed at. We were right by a river. There's also like a pool, which I guess is pretty cool. And then we had some surfboards, and that trees was like in the middle of our base. So it was really cool. These were our adventure weekends. Often we would go to different places around Australia just to explore a little bit. We would also do some evangelizing in that Jesus Loves You picture right there. We went to the Gold Coast, which was like 2 hours south of where we were at, and we went to another partying street and we evangelized there. That was probably one of my favorite days. And then there's a beach called Noosa, and we would go there and some, yeah, lakes that we swam in. These were just some of the people. This was, we got some flowers together and we went out to people in the streets and we just shared God's love. That's by the river. That's all the girls. Those are some of my friends. These were the guys trying to spell out YWAM. Doesn't really look like it, but that's okay. and then also, this is my friend. We also had like a really wide range of like ages. Like this guy here was 28. We had a 38-year-old there, and the lowest we went was like probably around my age, which is 18. But there was just some more. This is the same picture again. These two speakers were from Cape Town. Yeah, Cape Town. And they like invited us to their home and stuff. They gave us their address so we could come visit anytime. They were probably one of our favorite speakers. This was just some worship and then just some friends. We did a lot of like outreach bonding and intercession before actual outreach because, just to get acquainted with each other and stuff. And I think because of that, my group got super, super close. And you can definitely tell how the intercession helps the actual outreach. I think my group took it really seriously and we kind of went, did more than other groups. And I think that really showed in our outreach just because we were able to overcome things. And God was just super faithful through that. These are videos you can play. This was, you don't have to play the whole thing, but this was just a worship session. We were like in the middle of the outback and like, you can't really see it, but the stars were so pretty. It was amazing, but we did a lot of like spontaneous worship and stuff. This was when we were evangelizing on the clubbing street. So people would just like, we would be worshiping and people would come up and they would take pictures of us or videos and ask us what was going on, and it really sparked conversation. So next is the outreach. Each of the people on my team each had like a different task to do, and I was tasked with making the video. It's not the greatest, but I think it really gives a good rundown and kind of like shows you what we did. But I'll explain a little after. But
hi guys, welcome to Sri Lanka. Today we're going to be exploring Sri Lanka.
Goodbye! Oh, here we go. In Sri Lanka. I really like us. I don't. I cannot
So yeah, that kind of gives a summary. We kind of moved around every week, which I really think helped kind of keep us in the groove of it. I think other outreach teams, they kind of stayed in the same place, which was really good. You could build a lot of relationships that way. But I think moving from place to place really kept us focused. And yeah, just excited to do what we can for a week or so. Oh yeah, I think I put the videos at the beginning so you can play. This was the guys dancing with some of the locals. They're very like a quiet culture, but they love like singing and dancing and stuff. So that was one of their favorite things to do. So some of the scenery, it was obviously very, very pretty.
Is that a tree?
Yeah, it's really cool. It was really pretty. That was one of the, we hiked probably 8 or so miles to get to one of our locations just because it was so deep in the woods. But this was a church service. We did a lot of children's ministry, so we played a lot of games with them. That was one of the things that we did the most. We went to a Hindu temple just to, I don't know, it's one of like kind of the culture things. And we went over there and we prayed. And it was kind of interesting because as soon as you step into it, it's just like we got headaches. Like it just was not a good feeling at all. But we went in there and we prayed over some people and stuff. This, you can just play part of this video, but we helped some people reel in their fish, and it was just hours and hours of pure pooling. You can tell like these people are really, really skinny. Like they just don't have a lot of energy. So they said we got it done in like a lot quicker than what they would have. So this was a skit that we did. They're very like creative people, so they really liked when we did skits. But yeah, you don't have to play the whole thing, but. This is just an example of my friend was sharing the gospel, and that's our translator stayed with us the whole time. This one, actually, there was a guy in this congregation, whatever you want to call it, gathering, and he, after my friend there shared the gospel, he came up to her and he like knelt below her and said that I want to accept Jesus. So we walked him through the salvation prayer and stuff like that. And then afterwards, he was older, he said that he was so happy now and that he was like his life purpose was complete and that now he wanted to like go meet his savior, which I think was super cool because when he walked in there, he just didn't even have any purpose. He didn't know Jesus at all. So that was really cool. This was children's ministry. Yeah. And I thought this was just a cool video. The kids at this location were like so happy. This was probably one of my favorites, but this was actually a Norwegian song. We had a lot of Norwegians in YWAM, so we taught the Sri Lankan kids a Norwegian dance. This was with the people that, like the church we worked with at one location, and we formed like a really close connection with them, but it was super cool just being with them every day. This was at a school, actually. It was at a non-Christian school, and we weren't like allowed to directly share about Jesus, so it was kind of hard to do that, but we did a lot of Christian songs, and I think that we made an impact there. This was just a few pictures. Majority of what we did were house visits. So we split into group. I had a group of 12, and we just split into threes, and we went around to random houses, and we knocked and see if we could come in, and they would give us juices and cookies, and then we would share about Jesus. And almost every single Hindu that we talked to accepted Jesus, which is, like, crazy. Like, absolutely insane. It was almost like it almost became routine, like we expected them to accept Jesus, which is like so fortunate. Like it was amazing. It was so, so cool. But these were one of the first days. That's a market. This is, that top picture is all the girls in traditional Sri Lankan like church clothing. They're called saris. That was at a house visit at some of the beaches. Yeah, and then we each one person on our team, like said, gave a sermon. And so this is one of the guys giving a sermon at a church. Here's some of the like sleeping conditions. That's how we got transported around. This was like some of our meals. It was jackfruit, papaya, and then like bread. That was also a meal up there. We ate on like banana leaves, and this was very interesting. It was like a noodle sweet thing. And then these were some of the people that we worked with. These were some of our adventure days. These were both at the beach there. Yeah, these were some girls that we met, and then that is us putting on a skit as well. And then this, they gave us, I forget what they called it, but it's basically just a thing that they do to kind of like say, hey, we're friends. And we got to take part in that, and they set that all up for us. So that was cool. These were a lot of like living. Overall, our living was like really, really nice. We always had a roof over our head. It was really nice. And then that's some of the traditional food. That's another skit. And then this woman right here was actually blind. So we went to a house visit, and we talked to this woman for a while, and she accepted Jesus. And then we saw this other woman, that blind woman in the corner, and she like didn't really say anything. So we confronted her, and she said that she was blind, and she clearly was. And so we prayed over her. We prayed over her for probably an hour. And then she opened her eyes, and our translator said, like, what does this woman look like? And she like was able to say, that's a white woman with brown hair and stuff like that. And then she got up out of her seat, and she started walking down the steps down the street. And the family in the house was like totally like dumbfounded, because like they said she hadn't left the house in like 10 years or something like that. Like, she could not see at all. So it was crazy. Her eyesight wasn't like fully restored, but like it was insane. But yeah. And I just want to say thank you for your support. It was really, really, yeah, I'm just really grateful that I got to go on this trip. And yeah, it meant a lot to me. So thank you so much. I also have a few stories of people. A lot of people we talked to, most of them were Hindu. And there was a one Hindu priest family, and we went and talked to them, and we shared the gospel. And this was a very common theme, but the Hindu priest said, yes, like, we know Jesus is the one true God. We know Christianity is, like, the true religion, but we just can't accept it because of what we think our family will think. So it's just insane, because a lot of, like, these people you tell this to, and, like, this guy was a Hindu priest, and he's like, yeah, like, I know it's true, but I just don't want to stray from what my family believes, which is really, really crazy. But there was also like villages that you would go into, and there's like a suicide like every day, and it's absolutely crazy, and you can just feel the heaviness in there, a lot of like spiritual things going on. There was also a church service. It was the one that I gave the message to, and my friend and I looked back, and there's this woman, and she was like angrily glaring at us, and it was very, very interesting. But then during worship, it was very clear that she was possessed by a demon, so she started like freaking out, and so people took her, and they went to another church, and they said to cast the demon out. And then later, the next week, we went to the same, because we were there for 2 Sundays, and the woman stood up and said, yeah, like 7 demons were cast out of me, and now I'm saved by Jesus, which is absolutely insane. But that was really cool to like see for your own eyes. We also had like a lot of children's ministry, and I mean, the children would just come up to you, and they would like asked for prayer from like every single Christian adult in the room, because they said that they knew the power of prayer, which I think was really humbling, because sometimes you kind of just brush over it, but like these children are there like asking for prayer and asking like, how can I pray? Like, I know that this is powerful. So that was really, really cool. But yeah, any questions? Discipleship Training School. Yeah. Yep.
Kate, I think sometimes when you've experienced those things, then you think that's what happens there. Are you seeing any of that here?
Actually, I wrote this down, but in the lecture phase in Australia, they often talked about how there's different lies that are told to different cultures. So, like, if we saw spiritual things here in the West, that would make us believe, because we're very materialistic. But things that are spiritual, like, Satan focuses more on not letting people know the facts in the East, but, like, people experience spiritual things in the East all the time. So I think I feel it sometimes here, but in the East, that's just like a focus. Like, everybody knows that there's spiritual things. Everybody knows that spiritual things happen. So it's a lot easier to sense it over there than over here. But yeah.
Okay, why would a Hindu be receptive to the gospel? What is there about the gospel that would attract them?
Obviously the gospel is powerful, and I think you don't realize, like, I mean, obviously the Bible says the gospel is powerful, but sometimes you forget that. And a lot of Hindu culture, it's not relational at all. So once you tell them you can have a relationship with God and he cares, everyone's like, that's amazing. And they don't really experience the love in that way. So, yeah. It's kind of hard, because a lot of people will say, like, it's so engraved in my culture, I'm not going to change it. And it's kind of hard when they say, oh, I'm going to be killed or abused if I change it. So it's kind of like the fine line of saying, well, Jesus is worth it, and, like, making sure that they're safe and doing it in a safe way. So, yeah, that was really, really hard. But honestly, for the most part, people did want to change and follow Jesus. So that was really, really cool.
What percent of the country, like, would be Christian versus Hindu?
I'm not sure. Another big religion there is some, like, Buddhism, some, but there's also a lot of Catholics there, Roman Catholic. I don't know. I would say a lot of the parts we were, there were virtually no Christians. So the parts we were, maybe, like, 5%, I don't know. But I know that in the middle more, there's like a little bit more of a Christian population.
And then what kind of, I mean, you can sense evil in certain places.
Oh, yeah.
So how does that affect your team?
I think whenever someone would say, like, I'm starting to feel sick, like, we went to that suicidal village, we often would just stop and pray, and that definitely helped. But yeah, I think that's where the intercession kind of came in a lot. Like, I don't know. You could just tell that really helped. The intercession before helped the actual part in Sri Lanka. But yeah.
You said your team, you felt that intercession was a big part of it. Your team had some spiritual success that other teams didn't. So how did the, like, what did the other teams, like, how did your team be different than the other teams, and what problems they could do?
A lot of it is just how the group works together. Obviously, God was moving so much in the other teams, but there were a lot of, like, relational issues, just a lot of drama, and our team just had, like, none of that. I think that was something we prayed so heavily over, because if the team isn't unified towards one goal, then you're not going to be able to accomplish the goal. So I think that was a really, really big part of it. Yeah.
So you could, somebody that's, I'll use the words converted, you could
Yeah, so the like people we worked with who kind of showed us around, and they often like gave us housing and stuff and like told us go to this village to evangelize. They were like Christian churches, and they often had like pamphlets that we could give the people to kind of refer them to a church after they accepted Jesus. No, it's more just that family, it's hard to explain, but like family is a huge part in their culture, but not like relationship as much. But yeah, so if a grandparent is Hindu, everybody else after them is raised Hindu. And if like a daughter would become Christian, like the grandparent could, like it was socially acceptable to hurt them or sometimes even kill them, which is what people were so afraid of. And often people, like Hindus, didn't even know a lot about their religion or what they believed. They just believed it because their parents believed it, but yeah. Yeah, but a lot of them, like, actually, because they know that, like, Westerners dress a lot differently and a lot, like, less modest, so they would often say, like, we appreciate so much that you're dressed super modestly, like, how our culture is, and that was often a big thing. That's kind of goes along with everyone was surprised that we went to people's houses and sat on their floor. Like, we had one Hindu priest who actually accepted Jesus because we came into his house and sat on his floor. And he was just so shocked that these rich Westerners were sitting on a dirty concrete floor. So that was really cool. It kind of goes along with that.
So what do you say when you go up to a house? I mean, is that culturally acceptable? You just go up to a house and knock and say, I'm coming in?
Yeah, so... our translator would basically go up to a door and say, like, hey, homeowner, we're coming in. And then we would come in and people would get chairs for us and stuff. And I remember one time we had, we needed a place to eat lunch because we couldn't go back to the church to eat lunch. And so we went up to a house and said, hey, can we eat lunch in your backyard? And they were like, oh, yeah. So we did. But that was super cool.
Did they give you the food or you had it?
We had some of the food, but, like, they would bring out, like, soda and cookies and fruit and... Yeah, they're very hospitable.
Hey, go, Mona, we're coming in.
Yeah.
Do you imagine that happening here?
Yeah. No, yeah. It was so crazy to see. And I love it. It was such a warm culture, and people just loved talking for hours and hours and hours.
What was the occupation of most people?
It's very, very different over there. I mean, you go to houses and almost everyone's home all the time. I think it's kind of cool to see in some way because, like, Westerners are so work, 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 you know. But, like, over there, people really relax all the time, which I guess, like, is maybe not all good. But a lot of them are, like, work at little stores, a lot of, like, automotive, because there's a lot of crashes that happen there with, like, bikes and cars and stuff, so a lot of people do that. A lot of, like, shop owners, yeah. Yeah, but their culture, like, only works, like, 3 or 4 hours a day, maybe, so, yeah. Actually, we went and visited quite a few. Yeah, family, like, relationships just isn't as important over there, and especially kids who have, like, disabilities, it's often looked down upon, so they'll be put up for adoption or given to an orphanage, so yeah.
What's your next step?
So I'm in college right now. So, yeah. Yep.
Studying to be?
I'm getting a degree in aviation and going for flight school. So I have one license, but got to get quite a few more yet. But yeah.
That's right. You like flying.
Yep. Yep.
So, were there other teams in Sri Lanka too, or were the other teams in other places?
We had one team go to Uganda for the full time. We had another team go to half Australia, half Uganda, and another team go to Fiji. I think it was very clear. Sri Lanka was very much like very personal, house visits, stuff like that. Uganda was very preaching to hundreds of people, like big gatherings, and Fiji was kind of the same thing. So I think I'm really, really happy that I went to Sri Lanka because I really like that personal aspect. And I think God was definitely in that, so. Yeah, we learned the outreach locations, and then we had like 2 hours to go out and pray and write down our order of what we thought we were supposed to do on a paper. But I originally thought that, I really thought that India was going to be a location, and I really thought I should go there. So when it wasn't, I was kind of confused. But I think it's funny because I think God knew that I didn't know my geography very well. And Sri Lanka is right by India, like same culture, same type of people. And I think that's kind of funny how that worked out because I didn't even know Sri Lanka really, and I thought I should go to India, but Sri Lanka is basically India, so, yeah.
Hey, what do you think of YWAM as a ministry? I mean, they're great at outreach, but it seems like they're impacting the kids that are part of YWAM as much as, you know, any comments about that?
YWAM is like, I think it's really, really good. I would definitely recommend it, but the bases can like, are completely different from each other. Like, I would definitely recommend my base, but some bases, sometimes I maybe would, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes people are leaders who maybe shouldn't be leaders. Like, they'll do a DTS for a month and then they can be a full-on leader, and I don't know if that's necessarily, I don't know. It's kind of a line, but definitely my base I would recommend, and definitely, like, huge impact there. My sister-in-law went to this exact base, and I did research on some other bases, and I thought that this one would probably be the best fit, and she obviously had a super fun time, so. Yeah, and I could ask questions, and I think I knew right away that this was the base I wanted to go to. Yeah, I think it's definitely harder because in Sri Lanka, it's just, I mean, when I was in Sri Lanka, I think about coming home and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm going to be doing enough just because it's constant ministry all day, every day. And I think that's really hard. It's just, it's kind of hard within transition, just knowing where that line is and knowing that it's just going to be a different ministry that I do. But I've carried a lot of stuff that I learned in lecture phase now because they talked a lot about that transition and how to apply that.
And what's hard is when you were there, that was your work.
Yeah.
That was your main goal for the day. Like what you had to So that's what's different about coming home. Like you have to do whatever, you know, work or school or school thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that make it hard.
And in Sri Lanka, like, people are so open to talking and hearing about God. But, like, people here is just so much more closed off. And obviously people want to hear it, but it's just such a different culture. So it's definitely hard.
Is there a language? I mean, you always had an interpreter, but, like, you have pictures up there, right? You were just, like, with other girls. Did they use to speak English over there?
So they spoke Tamil. We had a translator who was actually from the YWAM base in Sri Lanka, and he spoke really good English and obviously Tamil. But some people spoke like a little bit of English, and like those were the most fun houses because, you know, it was so much like easier to connect. But yeah, we had a translator the whole time, and he was so, so good.
Do they have cell phones, internet, television?
Some of them, I would say most didn't, but it's kind of funny when you go to someone and they're homeless, but they have like the newest iPhone. I think that was something that was really, really surprising. So I would say like maybe like 20% had phones and TVs, but yeah. Yeah, so the best ones were when you could split into little groups because you could, like, it was just, yeah, a lot more personal. So when they had extra translators, then we would split into groups. But if they didn't, then we would just go as one big group.
That's a lot of people.
It was, yeah, and kind of hard to relate to them a little bit more, but... basically, just as like the most basic house you can probably think of, but just all concrete, like concrete floor, concrete walls. It was very, like no furniture, and I mean they liked their concrete because it was just so hot outside. It was probably like 105 degrees plus humidity. So, yeah, I think they liked it basic because as soon as you start putting more in there, it's really, really hot. But yeah. Some of them had like different rooms, but for the most part, it was like all one room. Like everything is done in that one area.
Did they have indoor plumbing then, or not?
A lot of them had like outhouse type things. Yeah.
So was the culture just like, what was the family unit in the house? Was it just like, was there a mom and a dad and kids, or was it like grandparents and like how many?
Yeah, it was, like, generations. I would say probably, like, three generations in a house. You would rarely, like, ever see, like, just mom, dad, kids. Like, it was very much a big community in the house.
So how would a house compare to the size of this
room? I would say, like, a standard one, maybe, like if you would take this wall into this pole. Yeah.
This wall?
No, that wall.
This wall?
Yeah.
So they're pretty small.
Yeah.
And what was the average size of the family?
A lot of people, like, they would often say, like, brother went off to do this or dad went off to do this. I would say maybe, like, seven sometimes. A lot of people were just, like, yeah. Or, like, some people would be at work, so it's kind of hard to gauge, but... yeah.
Bigger than what
the average family here would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does everybody drive a car? One of your pictures had kind of a half-size car. Is that typical? Or?
A lot of people had, like, motorbikes. Because, I mean, traffic doesn't work like it does here. They kind of just, yeah. But some people definitely... Well, they're called tuk-tuks, but they're, like, little cars, and they're, like, little taxis that people often use. So a lot of people don't have, like, cars.
Is healthcare already covered by there?
Yeah, so when, like, one of us would get sick, it was kind of scary because, I mean, there's not really much they'll do for you. In, like, big cities, you could get some healthcare. But you go there, and you don't even say what's wrong, and they'll hand you, like, four antibiotics. But other than that, it just doesn't really extend farther than that. But yeah.
Things to take for granted here,
huh? Mm-hmm. Yep.
What would you say your hardest struggle was during the whole experience?
I think like the spiritual warfare during one of the locations, it was just like a lot heavier than it was in the other locations. And like you can talk about it here and afterward and say, yeah, it was so bad. But when you're in it, it's like you just feel like you're not going to get out of it, and it's just a complete like roadblock. So I think that was one of the hardest location like parts of it. But once we left that location, it got like significantly better. So I don't know yeah, what was up with that, but.
Happy
yeah. Yep.
And what was your greatest achievement that you feel you took away from this?
I think just learning that you need to do the preparations before so that you're prepared for when things do happen. And like you hear a lot of these miraculous stories, but it's kind of, I'm a very visual person, so sometimes it's kind of hard to believe if you don't see it, like, or yeah, feel it for yourself. So actually like seeing some of these things, it's like just insane. So yeah. Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, I just